This is Seattle's Morning News. Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien. Is vaping a gateway to smoking for teenagers, or could it actually help them avoid cigarettes? Let's call in the doctor.
Paging Dr. Cohen.
Dr. Gordon Cohen, MD. Dr. Cohen, this involves a study done at Georgetown University. What did they find?
Yeah, this study was just completed at Georgetown University in the Lombardi Comprehensive Cancer Center. And it was interesting because they found that as kids started increasing their use of vaping or e-cigarettes, they started to smoke less. So they're consuming significantly less cigarettes now that vaping is available.
Now, is vaping itself less dangerous than inhaling something that's actually burning?
So this is quite a...
Because you're still getting nicotine, right?
Right. A vaping device is officially known as an electronic nicotine delivery system. And the way it works is it heats a liquid. It's sometimes called e-juice or something like that. And it's heated until a vapor, it's not smoke, until a vapor is created, and then the user inhales that vapor. And so there's no smoke going into the lungs. There's no products of combustion going into the lungs. And so a lot of the harms that are associated with smoking are related to the burning and to the products of combustion rather than to the nicotine itself. The problem is with nicotine, it's a highly addictive substance, but the truth is that nobody really is aware of any long-term negative health effects from it. And it's a controversial area, but right, there aren't really good studies that have demonstrated any long-term harm to consuming nicotine.
I know the head of the FDA has taken a strong stand on this, saying that he doesn't want kids addicted to vaping. But what you're saying is, while nicotine is addictive, the main consequence is you're addicted, but it's not causing any harm? I thought that it led to heart disease, or is that the particulates instead of the nicotine?
Yeah, that's the particulates. Those are the other chemicals. There's over 150 different poisons, basically, that are in cigarettes that are responsible for all the negative health effects of it, whereas with vaping, you're inhaling this vapor. And really, the vapor consists of a small, tiny amount of nicotine in terms of volume, but it's actually equivalent to that of a cigarette. Another substance called propylene glycol, which is very, very common food additive. And at least when consumed orally, it has really no known toxicity. And it's, like I said, it's commonly added to food, but it's also an antifreeze. People love to point that out. And that's because it lowers the freezing point of water. And then distilled water, and then glycerin. So those are the kind of the most common things that are in this e-juice. What's happened is people have become more widely accepting of vaping because it doesn't have all the potentially negative health risks associated with it. And this has been an area that's been hotly debated amongst many government agencies. And really, it's like, for example, there's nicotine gum. And nicotine gum is used to get people off of smoking because you can stop the smoking but still get the benefits that you experience from the nicotine itself. And then you're supposed to be able to transition off. But the fact of the matter is there are people who chronically chew nicotine gum, and their single biggest complaint about it is that it's expensive. So this study is quite interesting because they went out to see, well, what happened during the period of time that e-cigarettes have been out. And when the e-cigarette use came in to the marketplace, smoking rates dropped between 25 and 40%. But smoking rates in young adults have dropped by over 50%, and most of that has been since 2013. And so the government wants to regulate and create very tough restrictions surrounding e-cigarettes. But, you know, the scientists who conducted this study at Georgetown are concerned that it would potentially reverse the trends of the dropping smoking rates. And we really know how bad smoking is for all of us.
So this is not a moral crusade worth engaging in, is what you're saying.
It's not a moral crusade worth engaging in. I mean, I do think that we need to understand and do a better job of understanding what the risks of nicotine in isolation along with propylene glycol are when inhaled over a long period of time. I mean, there's been concern that vaping is a gateway to smoking, but that actually hasn't really bared out. In fact, people tend to stick with the vaping.
But what you're saying is the latest research indicates that if you were to somehow curtail vaping, all it would do would be to force people into a more dangerous alternative, that being smoking a burning material.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. And, you know, look, I don't want to come across as leading people to believe that vaping is a harmless activity, because it isn't. You are consuming a chemical. You are consuming a stimulant. You can become addicted to a substance. But many experts out there are suggesting that vaping is the lesser of two evils.
Dr. Gordon Cohen, MD. Dr. Cohen, thank you.
Thanks, Dave.